And the first one is a life-changing love. That's the one that I've come to tonight and said, you know, you got to know that God loves you. Somewhere in the course of the life, for your life to be changed, you got to experience the love of God in such a way that you begin to know that it's not just a Bible or a book, but it's something that creates life in you that you can be a part of and give to others. So tonight I want to talk to you about being created with a life desire to have that life-changing love. We're created to walk through this life in a way that we posture ourselves in love. Christ commands us to love one another. He commands us to love our enemies. He talks about love a lot in the Scriptures. So without that revelation that only comes in a certain way from the Lord, we can't be that love to the world that we need to be. You know, I believe that God in His heart, when He created man, He didn't have a lack, but He had an abundance. And that abundance was an abundance of love. And in that abundance of love, He said, let us make man in our own image. And He created man in His own image. And when the garden was set forth and man was set in place, we read that in the cool of the day, the Lord did what? He came down. Because He wanted to spend time with man. He wanted to walk with him. He wanted to have a moment with His creation that was personal. You know, we serve a big God who can speak and things change in an instant. He can speak a world or a universe into existence. But yet we serve a God that is so concerned about you and I that He wants to come down and walk with us. That He is purposely designed you and I so that we have a desire and a craving for a living relationship with a loving Father. And this Father's heart of His, He created us in His image. When we encounter the Father, we're never the same. Think about your life. And when you've encountered God in a way that God is speaking to you or speaking through you or someone's praying for you, whatever the experience may be, you walk away changed every time. It can be in your quiet place. It can be driving down the road. There are moments where these encounters are stronger, more memorable. But God desires not for just those moments, but He desires for a daily encounter, a moment-by-moment encounter with you and I. And until we understand how much He loves us, how much He desires us, how much He values us, we're always going to overlook that. So if you look around you tonight, you see people in here, and every one of you, I bet, has had an encounter with the living God. You've had an encounter with a loving Father that has changed you. If you haven't, I believe you're here tonight because you want to have that encounter. And part of our testimony, we overcome by the blood of the Lamb, but also the word of our testimony. And part of our testimony is how good God is and what God has done. God said to taste and see that He is good. You and I are the fruit that the world is supposed to taste. But so often, we miss that in being that because we ourselves struggle with, does God really love us? Tonight, I pray, and as I've been praying, that the Lord will put that to rest in you. That the words that you hear will be convincing because it's who God is and what God's done, not by man. But if each one of you could share your testimony tonight, you would talk about what God's done in your life. You would have testimonies that would be moving about the presence of God. In order to encounter God and in order to experience the love of God, you have to encounter God. When you encounter God, you experience the love of God every time. Because God is love. So every encounter with God is always out of love. Whether it's correction, whether it's direction, whether it's blessing, whatever it is, every encounter that you have with the Father is done because He loves you. Now, how many of you in here tonight, let me see a show of hands, have had an encounter, a loving encounter with the living God? Amen. Almost, if not everybody in here, everybody in here. So what does that tell you? That out of all the billions of people on the face of the earth, He chose you to have an encounter with. My God's not too busy. He says when we pray, He hears us. We're created to walk in this life, a life of freedom, not a life of bondage, not one of slavery. He said He didn't give us a spirit of fear or bondage, but He gave us a spirit of freedom. He gave us a spirit of life. And in order to rightly represent Him, we've got to walk in such a way that we know Him. And in order to know Him, we've got to continue to have encounters that build on who He is and establish the DNA of who we know Him to be. So we've been called to show forth God's love through His power that breaks the yoke of the enemy. We've been called to pray for people and see things break off of them. We've been called and empowered and equipped to step into places where there's chaos and speak peace. We've been called where the blind can't see to pray for the blind and for them to see. We've been called for the lame to begin to walk. We've been called to walk in miracles when we begin to pray, not because of us or who we are, or because of our magical prayer, or because of I'm more holy than you, but because we by faith believe that God is who He says He is, and because He loves people in such a way that He wants to have that God encounter. He wants to bring that healing about. He wants to bring that change in their life. He wants to set them free from that addiction. He wants to see them walking in victory and not in defeat. And now we know the enemy has right the opposite plan, and he's very good at deceiving people into thinking that there's no hope. Sadly, we as Christians have often believed that ourselves. We come to a place of despair, as Paul Bunyan wrote in his book, and we wallow in the slough of despair. Until we realize, all of a sudden, God comes down in an encounter, and He says, "What are you doing there, son? You don't belong there. What are you doing eating with the pigs? You don't belong there. Go home to your father." Come on now. So you and I need to encourage each other and build each other up in our faith so that we don't end up in the slough of despair. You and I know that life is full of troubles. You know that trials are coming. The Bible says there's enough trials for today not to worry about tomorrow. He didn't say there wouldn't be trials. There wouldn't be tribulations. He said there will be. So if we're going to express the love of God, we've got to know the love of God. In order to know the love of God, we've got to encounter a God on a continual basis that is loving us. And as He's loving us, He is transforming us in His image and likeness. He is changing the very nature of who we are into be more like Him. We need a people, and we need to be a people who refuse to settle for less than God's best. The Father didn't come to die upon the cross and halfway give you what you need. He came that you may have everything that you need, that you may have life more abundantly, that you may have a fullness of life. Then in the reality of who He is, He said, "I'm giving you everything I've got. I'm giving you my very best." And I'm getting ahead of myself here, but I can't help it. The Father's love has a power that sets people free. Are you free tonight, church? Are you free tonight? You're free because the love of God has come upon you at some point, shown you that you were a sinner. You repented and began to believe that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. John 3:16, the greatest love verse there is in the Bible. For God so loved. For God loved so much that He could not stand it anymore. that he is tired of the filth and the sin and the lies that people were believing when he knew that he created them for so much more. That he did not spare his only son. That he gave his only son. I wrestled with that concept for years. I would not give one of my children up for you. I'm sorry. I wouldn't do it. Even if I knew they were going to live on the other side, I wouldn't do it. I might give myself, but I would not give my children for you. But yet God loved the world. Can you say God loved me so much that he gave his only begotten son? Paul says that while we were yet sinners, while we were wallowing around in the pig pen, while we were rejecting him, I know in my own life, when I was running the opposite direction because I knew the truth, he was still pursuing me. That Jesus Christ died on the cross before any of us ever committed to follow him. Do you understand what I'm saying? He allowed you to choose to follow or not to follow, and he gave you that choice before Jesus ever died on the cross. Because he knows and is confident in his Son and the blood of the Lamb. He's confident in his love, and he knows the power that once that blood was poured out, once that blood was spilled, once that moment happened, that he had won the victory of the keys to death, hell, and the grave, so that you and I no longer have to be subject. That you and I no longer have to be under the enemy, because the law says we belong. Now we belong to another because he bought us with a price. That verse goes on to say that whoever believes will not perish, but have eternal life. You know, for a long time as a child, I heard that verse over and over and over, memorized it, and it was everywhere. And grew up Southern Baptist, so, you know, it was pounded in this ear, and here and there and everywhere. That was the verse for the Southern Baptist. Every message had it in it. So I'm laughing at myself today as I was preaching this. I'm like, this is one you've heard before. But I marvel at a God who loved me so much that he sent his son who had no spot, who had no blemish, for a little boy that was full of sin, that was ate up with it. You know, I used to think, I don't have a testimony of doing drugs and doing all these things and coming to the Lord, but the Lord set me straight on that one day. He said, it took just as much of the blood of Jesus to save your self-righteous soul as it did the one who is in drugs and alcohol and prostitution and addictions. It took the same blood of Jesus to save you who thought you did not need a Savior until you came to that point where you saw you did. Don't ever let anybody tell you that the cross, the resurrection of Christ, isn't true. Without it, we have nothing, Paul says. He's right. And there's so many churches today that are doing away with it. There's so many things out there called Christianity, but it's not Christianity. Paul says if they preach another gospel, let them be accursed. Well, I'm going to tell you something. There's some of them out there that are proclaiming another gospel, and they're being accursed by the words out of their own mouth. Because the blessing comes through Jesus Christ. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes shall not perish but have eternal life. So God came to set his people free. He came to set whosoever would believe free before they ever chose to be free, before they ever knew they needed to be free. I can't fathom it. I can't understand it.
But what I do understand is, who am I to doubt that God loves me when He's paid that kind of price? Who am I to allow another to say that I am not loved when God Himself came down in human form and was sacrificed on a cross? Beloved, don't ever let the enemy tell you that lie. You are greatly loved. You are greatly loved. And in order for us to be the people of God that we're supposed to be and to minister to the world, we've got to know that truth. Not just in a head knowledge, but in a revelation knowledge that comes from an encounter with the living God. And it's not just a one-time thing when you walk down the aisle and give your life to Christ. He wants to continue to have encounters with you. He wants to continue to show you His love so that you continue walking a freshness and a newness. It's not just one occurrence. It is... salvation is one occurrence. When you walk down, you believe, you give, you are saved. I'm not preaching getting saved over and over and over. But the encounter of a loving God is something He desires. And that was the gateway for a lifetime of it. In the midst of that course, the enemy always tries to come in and distort, destroy, say, oh, well, God don't really love you. Don't believe it. Don't you believe it? You are whosoever. Whosoever. How do you miss that that doesn't mean everybody? That means everyone. That means you. Because there is no except in that clause, in that word, whosoever. It doesn't say except. It says whosoever believes. We were created to walk in such a way that people see Jesus through us. Now, you know the other lie the enemy tells, and I'm going to jump off on a rabbit trail here, is, well, you're really not perfect, so therefore, you're really not representing Jesus, right? And you really don't need to do anything but until you get your life perfect. What a bunch of hogwash. Jesus knew, the Father knew, the Holy Spirit knew and knows you in the most intimate way. He knows your weakness, but yet He called you unto Himself. And He did some amazing things in you to make you who you are and not. He's not worried about those things. He's not worried about those things. He knows the power of the blood. And the power of His love and the power of encountering Him will change what you love, what you desire. Repentance will come. But let Him do it. Don't let the enemy. There is no condemnation to those who walk in Christ Jesus. Took me a long time to learn that one. And still there are times where I have to go to the Father and Father say, Lord, I need You to deal with him. I need You to deal with me. You know? Lord, I need You to set some things straight here because I'm struggling. And you get in the Word and you begin to read and say, God, show me. And the Holy Spirit begins to open it up and He begins to... Hey, I'll tell you, I've stood in the mirror and said, you're a man of God. You are not all those things that the enemy's telling you. You are a man of God. You failed, you made a mistake. Lord, forgive me. Get up, go on. But go on with Him. Go to Him. Adam and Eve, when they sinned, what did they do? They hid. I don't want to hide anymore. I don't want to hide my sin. I want to be in the place where I say, God, here I am, and here's what I've done. I blew it. I missed it. When that person cut me across in traffic, I missed it. The Lord has been convicting me on that one. The Father's love sets us free. It sets you free to be a light and a replica and an example of who Jesus is. It sets you free for a lost and dying world that you may be able to pray for, set others free, that you may be able to pass on. You have the ability to transfer that what you have because of who you are in Christ. Did you get that?
You have the ability to transfer the love of God to others. You have the ability to transfer a power, a dunamis power, the resurrection power of Christ, into a situation when you're praying because you are a son or a daughter of the Most High God. And He has appointed you and anointed you and set you in place in heavenly places so that you can speak with authority on His behalf. The Father's love transforms you. He didn't just save you, He also transforms you by the Holy Spirit that He's given you. You're no longer an ain't, you're a saint. You're not unholy, you're holy. You're not unrighteous, you're righteous. He's clothed you with the robe of righteousness. He's covered you with His sins. So it's as if when the Lord looks upon you and the blood of the Lamb is applied, He doesn't see those things that were, because He said He cast them far as the east is from the west. You, my friend, are the ones often holding on to those things. Me, I am the one that's holding on to that. But God said, I don't care about that. What are you talking about? I've forgiven you, and I've moved it. No longer is it in your life. No longer do you have to deal with that. But you know what it takes? It takes me believing that what God says is true and everyone else is a liar. What God says is true and everyone else is a liar. He is transforming you. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says that you are a new creation. All the old things have passed away. You have been transformed. You are a new creation. And we call this being born again. So you're born out of death into life. So now you're an eternal living being with a spirit, soul, and body that has the ability to represent Christ in a way that's pleasing to Him. So you're no longer a sinner, but you're a saint. There's a difference. I may make a mistake. I may sin. I may repent. But I don't long to be there. I don't long to live that life of sin. You are no longer living under the curse, but you're living under the blessing. You're living under the umbrella of God that says, I'm pouring out my blessings on you. This is my child in whom I am well pleased. Can we grasp this tonight, saints? Because for us to go on and be who we're supposed to be, we have to understand that the love of God is more profound than what we understand. Can you say with me? I'm a child of the Most High God. I'm saved. I'm not lost. I've been found. And I like it. Amen. Think about that. Think about that. That you are called to be a child of the Most High God. You not only are called, but you are. You've stepped into a new dimension. You've stepped into a new life. He's taken off the garments of shame and guilt, and He's replaced them with a robe that's whiter than snow. Because though your sins be as scarlet, He's going to wash it white as snow by the blood of the Lamb. You have a crown of salvation. Your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. You know why Jesus said, don't worry about the demons? That wasn't nothing. But rejoice that your name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life. All of heaven rejoices because the demons were already subject. There were demonic activity and there were dealings with demons by righteous men before Jesus came and died on the cross. But your name wasn't written in the Lamb's Book of Life until the Lamb was slain before the throne. That's the price that was paid. That's why He said rejoice. Because that was the ultimate sacrifice. That was the ultimate show of love
upon that cross. That Jesus Christ loved His Father more than He loved His own life. That Jesus Christ loved what the Father loved, which was you, more than He loved His own life. Beloved, you're His. The Father's love does another thing. It empowers and it equips you. It empowers you with the Holy Spirit. That when you're saved, you're marked with a seal by the Holy Spirit. Not only are you marked by the Holy Spirit, but you have a Holy Spirit that wants to continue to fill you over and over and over and over and over. Because God wants your cup full, beloved. He doesn't want you working on empty. He wants your cup full. And He says, if you know how to, if you being evil know how to give good gifts, how much more do I know how to give the Holy Spirit? I know that's referring to the baptism of the Holy Spirit, but it also can allude to He wants you to continue to walk in the Spirit. Paul tells us, walk in the Spirit. Live in the Spirit. The love of God opens up that portal that the Holy Spirit can now empower you and continue to educate you, equip you, so that you have an ongoing relationship. So this Holy Spirit's job is to point to Jesus and the Father and say, this is what they're doing. Come on, get involved. Oh, that person needs prayer for cancer. They didn't come up for cancer. Well, pray for them. Just tell them what I said. Through you, the world is a better place. And that's why the world groans for the revelations of the sons and daughters of God. We don't need an anemic Christianity. We need a blazing faith that says, God, send me. God, send me. I want to pray for that person. I want to pray for somebody, Lord God. I want to be the vessel that you want me to be. I want to see deliverance. I want to see the people set free, God. Help me, Lord, to see what you're doing. He equips and empowers you. He has enabled you with everything that you need. Stop believing any less. Get in the Word. See what He says. And I could give you scripture after scripture after scripture that reinforces this. But I decided tonight I was just going to talk with you with a few scriptures. I want the Spirit of Caleb and Joshua that said, God, I'm not going to settle for any less than what you've got for me. I want everything you've got for me every day on the face of the earth. God, let that be my heart. Let that be my cry. And Father, when I fall short, empower me, equip me, encourage me. Come, Father. I've prayed for years. I said, Lord, I wanted somebody to disciple me. And one day the Lord said, well, I'll disciple you. What an idea. Wow. I clearly heard the Lord say, I will disciple you. And I said, God, I'm in. I'm in. God will give you the desires of your heart. Because He is Jehovah's Nikki. He usually put them there to begin with. He usually put them there to begin with when they're lined up with Him. You've been given the authority to walk in victory. You've been given the authority to overcome the enemy. Now it's up to us to receive and believe what God has said and what God has done. He says He's empowered you. He's equipping you all the time. He's working to equip you. He's put leaders in place to equip you. He's bringing the people in your life right where you are right now for you to be able to do what He's calling you to do. Tonight with me, will you say, yes, Lord, I'm going to trust You. Yes, Lord, I'm going to believe in Your love over everything else. That even when I make a mistake, Lord, I know that You're not heavy-handed, but You're fair. And You're more than fair, God, that You're gracious and You're merciful. That, Lord, I don't get what I deserve. If I did, I'd be smoldering ashes. I mean, I know some of the things I've done. knowing I was doing them and telling God I didn't want to do what he wanted me to do. But in his infinite grace and mercy, as the worship team comes tonight, if you don't know this loving God, if you've not been experiencing encounters with him, or you've never experienced an encounter with him, I hope tonight that you'll come forth as some of the prayer teams, as the worship team gets up here, and they begin to play. If some of you on the prayer teams would just come forth and ask God to give you somebody to pray for. Stand here. When you're standing here, actively begin to pray. God, I've been praying, standing right here, and it's like, okay, everybody's got, God, I want somebody. Come on, Lord, give me somebody. Give me somebody to pray for, God. And then somebody comes. So you don't just have to wait passively. You can actively pursue what God's got for you. So tonight, as Andrew plays and you guys will stand with us, let's worship the Lord. And if the prayer team will come up and begin to stand along the altar here, I just want to invite you tonight. If the Lord spoke to you, if the Holy Spirit spoke to you, if there's something that the Lord wants, or you have a need tonight, whatever it is, the love of God is here to meet that need. The love of God is here to meet your need because he cares about the tiniest things that you care about. Just come right now.
love so undeniable that I can hardly speak, and He's so unexplainable that I can hardly think as You call me, deeper still as You call me, deeper still as You call me.
The Lord for the word we've heard tonight, and just going to continue ministering here in the altar. But thank You for being here. Let's be in prayer for this coming Lord's Day as we gather again, just for the Lord to have His way. And if you are still here with a need in your heart, just feel free to come on up. God bless you. Have a wonderful week. In the name of Jesus, may God's grace be strong upon you. May His peace fill your heart and mind. May your cup run over in the name of Jesus. And my wife wanted to remind you ladies that the women's night is coming up, and the sign up is in the commons area. They're going to have a great time. Thanks for being here. God bless you. Let's give the Lord a hand for that wonderful word we heard tonight. Yes. Yeah.